You're going to be back in Washington before too much longer, starting out with a new Congress. There's been some changes in the way things are made up. Give me a little bit of a view from your standpoint as to what this new Congress is going to look like and how you might think it acts.
Well, I'm going to remain optimistic that compromise is not going to be the enemy. I think that the House is probably going to veer to the extreme right, and I'm hopeful that we will be able to, in the Senate, find some room in the middle for compromise instead of just this shouting at each other from the edges. If we do, then maybe we'll be able to get the House to go along with it if we can successfully show that we can work together over on the Senate side. So that's how I'm hopeful it will turn out, but time will tell.
How big an issue is health care going to be with this new Congress?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I think that all of us want to improve health care for people in America, and that means access and affordability and choice. Those are the three things that we want to make sure that people have access to quality health care, they have choices about their health care, and that it's affordable. And if we need to work on the bill that was passed, I am going to be there with my sleeves rolled up, willing to look at any and all suggestions. The biggest problem we have, frankly, is that the most popular part of the health care reform requires the most unpopular part of the health care reform. And so the question remains, do we decide in America that if you've been sick before, it's okay that you can't get insurance? And that is the pre-existing condition situation we have right now, that people who have had the nerve to be ill have a very limited ability to get health insurance. And that's why, of course, that we wanted to get more people in the insurance pool. And if we do away with a mandate to get insurance, then clearly no one's going to buy insurance until they get sick. And that'd be a little bit like going out to get car insurance after you've had a wreck. You can imagine how expensive that would be. So I think that's the challenge, is how do we change the most unpopular part of the bill without getting rid of the parts of the bill that are the most popular.
Is this something that's likely to come out of the House and then die in the Senate?
Well, I think that they may actually vote to repeal the whole thing, which is interesting because there's, you know, thousands of small businesses in Missouri that are going to get a big return on their tax return from last year because there's a tax credit for the health care costs that your small business pays that is a very generous tax credit, a third of the cost this year and half next year. And the fact that young people can stay on their families' insurance policies until they're 26, and the help with prescription drugs that seniors have gotten, all of those things being paid for, frankly, by health insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies that were getting rich off the entitlement programs that were passed under George Bush. So it'll be interesting to see whether I don't think the whole thing will be repealed in the Senate, but I think a lot of us are willing to work on it and try to make it better.
Well, I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the end of the lame duck session. It seemed to finish with a bit of a flourish, a bit of a bang. Would it turn out to be a 100% success?
I'd say so, especially when you realize what broad bipartisan support we had for everything that passed. We were able to shut down earmarks this year, which I consider a victory. We were able to get the START Treaty passed, which I think is very important to national security. And we were able to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And all of this happened with not just one Republican vote or two Republican votes, but broad bipartisan support. So it really, is a great sign that maybe we have gotten to the point that we can come together on some things. And that's what I hope we can continue that trend into the new year.
How important was it in getting these things resolved that there were an awful lot of folks who were not going to be coming back for one reason or another, who felt some kind of liberation that they could vote separately from their party's wishes?
Well, there were a few of those, but there were also many people coming back, Republicans. I mean, I look at, for example, Senator Burr from North Carolina voting for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Senator Ensign, who's up for re-election in 2012, a Republican from Nevada who voted for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. There were a large number of Republicans who voted for the START Treaty being led by the ranking Republican on the Foreign Relations Committee, Dick Lugar, who has wide respect for his expertise in national security matters and foreign policy. He's also up for election in 2012, and he led a large number of Republicans to support the START Treaty. So I think that it was more than just folks saying, hey, I'm out of here, I'll go ahead and cast a vote and vote with the Democrats. There were a lot of Republicans that were willing to sit down and find that common ground that are going to be standing for election even as soon as 2 years from now.
There was a lot of talk when the Bush tax cut proposal was a compromise was worked out that this was just something that had to be done in order to get unemployment taxes to continue, unemployment benefits to continue. Did this really set the stage for compromise between the administration and the Republicans now, or was this just a one-time thing?
I don't know. I think that there certainly is agreement in both parties that the tax cuts for the middle class and working families need to be sustained and continued. I think there is very much disagreement as to whether or not multimillionaires should continue to have the tax cut that George Bush bestowed upon them. I took the position that on your first million, no tax increases should occur. But for on your second million and your third million, paying 3% more in order for us to begin to take a full onslaught on this deficit is important. And so, I think in another year and a half, this debate will ramp up again, and we'll take a look at the deficit, and hopefully by then we will have brought down spending, and we will be in a position that we can really feel good about the work we've done as it relates to the deficit.